ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The CEO of TikTok vowing to continue fighting against the House vote, forcing the company's Chinese owners to divest or face a possible ban. China's foreign ministry says the vote is a violation of fair trade practices. As violent gangs continue gripping Haiti, Americans are being airlifted out with the help of the government. ABC's Matt Rivers has more from the Dominican Republic.
Members of Congress stepping up, organizing a private evacuation of 10 Americans, including best-selling author Mitch Albom, who wrote Tuesdays with Maury.
And when we got there, the violence in Haiti really sparked. I felt responsible that we had to get those volunteers out.
Albom and his team trapped for a week, unable to leave the orphanage his charity runs. He says he was heartbroken saying goodbye to the children, saying he's luckier than most who are still trapped there, with gangs controlling at least 80% of the city.
A Florida judge to hear arguments on whether to dismiss the classified documents case against former President Donald Trump today. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden is in Michigan today after announcing $36 million for safer streets in Milwaukee yesterday. He also says inflation is coming down.
Wages are rising faster than prices, and now we have among the lowest inflation rates of any country in America, and we're still fighting to lower it even further.
The money from the bipartisan infrastructure law is going to a Milwaukee neighborhood that was largely torn down in the 1960s for Interstates 94 and 43. Biden's visit to Milwaukee yesterday shows the campaign considers Wisconsin still up for grabs 8 months before the election. Marquette University political scientist Charles Franklin tells the Cap Times it shows how close the last election was in Wisconsin and what Wisconsin means for the Electoral College count. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The I-35 corridor in Duluth may be getting a fresh new look over the coming years. Nearly $2 million was awarded to the city to explore redevelopment options for the corridor as the city begins to develop its vision for its waterfront areas. According to a Northern News Now report, the Duluth Waterfront Collective has been pushing for the project since 2018 to secure federal funding for the redevelopment. The city hopes that the redevelopment will allow them to connect Canal Park to the rest of the downtown area. Jester Bowl has received a significant donation that will help the organization expand and renovate the Tom Storm Chalet. According to a Northern News Now report, Jester Bowl officials announced an anonymous donation of $50,000, matching their donation to the chalet renovation project. In total, public sources have donated around $740,000 to the renovation project. The total cost is expected to be around $2.7 million, with officials looking for outside funding for the rest. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Bad news for the Brewers bullpen. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers have learned that they'll be without their closing pitcher, Devin Williams, for the start of the season. Following a series of tests in L.A., doctors found two stress fractures in Williams' spine. He's been dealing with back pain going back to last September. Estimates are he'll need at least 12 weeks to rest and recover before he can pitch again. The Brewers losing 15-4 to the White Sox. Manager Pat Murphy calling it a terrible performance. College hoops. The Big Ten's men's tournament underway at the Target Center in Minneapolis. The Badgers playing Maryland this afternoon. After they beat Rutgers last night, Wisconsin is the 5 seed. The Badgers 3-8 in the last 6 weeks. Is that enough to get in the NCAA tournament? Greg Gard.
Again, you go back to November, December, January. You sputter a little bit in February. We've got a really good resume. You know, I'm not going to get it onto the quad ones, quads twos, and who has the most quad one wins and all that.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high near 48 this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, gradual clearing overnight, our low 24. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, 48. Then on Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy and windy with some light snow late in the day, our high near 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
How to avoid this apocalyptic nightmare? It's to vote. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that will save our democracy is our democracy. America, make your voice heard. Turn away from authoritarianism and vote this November.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Coming up Thursday on Matt Nair On Air, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for our public service announcement, and we talk all things sports with Paul Noonan. I hope you can join us.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, is in effect. Good morning to you, Dr. Omar. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, Earl. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. It's always great to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. Always great to hear your voice as well. Thank
so people who may not be aware, this is a new segment that appears every Thursday at 9 a.m. Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, is the owner of
Welltopia Pharmacy.
Yeah, Welltopia Pharmacy. And he appears again every Thursday. You know, and the reason that we have him on is, you know, many of us are, you know, in my listening audience are, you know, middle-aged. And so we are saddled with taking all sorts of medications. And many of those medications, you know, we've been taking, some of us, for decades, Dr. Omar. And you stated over the last couple of times that no one should be taking those medications for a decade without somebody first having, you know, had some ongoing dialogue with a doctor to see if by now those medications aren't serving the purpose that they were, you know, intentionally prescribed to impact the average person. And yet this is going on. And so you are here for information to help give people, you know, the information that they need to make sure that the medicines that they take are safe, and that the medicines they take are all together the medicines that they should be taking. Is it safe to say those things?
It is safe to say so. We have to always check and see, am I taking the medications that I should be taking 10 years ago? Or is there a change? Because the reason for taking the medication is to improve my health. When my health improves, my number improves, my symptoms improve, the lab work improve, I can cut down on what I take, or I need to add something else, or I can utilize a healthy eating style in order to have a plan in 6 months to change what is not constant today. So the review of what we take is very important, and I think it would be helpful if we every episode speak about certain disease state and talk about what we can do other than medications to, and with medications as well, to help with fixing this problem. And I propose that we talk today about the most important aspect of the health as we age, which is high blood pressure or hypertension.
So clearly, We need to talk about those two things. I know the program we had on last week, the top medications that are being prescribed in this nation, the top two have to do with those things. But before we go there, I wanted to ask you about a medication that I'm taking and that I'm finding out. I've had my thyroid removed, as I said last week. And so I take a medication called levothyroxine.
Levothyroxine, yeah.
And so I'm finding out that levothyroxine is derived from a pig. It's so explain to me what levothyroxine is created from, a pig hormone. Is it safe to say that?
No, levothyroxine is okay. So it's just can be a bit complicated, but to simplify it, the medication that's taken for the thyroid can come from synthetically made in a lab, which is levothyroxine. And levothyroxine is the generic drug for the Synthroid, the famous Synthroid. But this is synthetically made. But then there is other medication for the thyroid that is coming from the pig, from the gland of the pig, which is going to be the MP thyroid or nature thyroid that is now in back order. But what you're taking now is synthetically made in the lab. And the challenge that we have with some patients is that they do not respond to the levothyroxine. And that's why the doctors would write something different. Some patients respond more to the medication that comes from the thyroid of the pig. And other medications do not respond unless they take it, they take their medication compounded, because the binders and the fillers and the things that can come with the commercial available product can be harmful to some population of people. And the challenge with that, Earl, is that it's very bio-individual. So levothyroxine is not one drug that fits all. Actually, there are many forms of thyroid medications that people might need according to their individual needs.
So there's a synthetic thyroid medication. Is there also a human thyroid that's derived from human?
No, there is the ones that are made in the lab and ones that are made from the thyroid of the pig. And the one that's made in the lab is either going to be levothyroxine is T4, which is should be converted in the body to T3. You take the T4 with the hope that you have good conversion from T4 to T3. So the question is, like, after taking it by 6 to 8 weeks, the labs should change. And if the thyroid functions are not normal, then a change in the medication should happen, and that medication should be increased or decreased or a change of the medication.
So in my case, doctor, so in my case, I don't have a thyroid anymore. I'll have to take this for the remainder of my life, safe to say. And so, you know, I have, you know, it's very, you know, delicate type medication, because I know, you know, the doctors will say, and they look very close and they're very careful about the dosage, because I guess depending on how much they add or take away, it changes your whole body.
Yep, that's right. That's right. So you need this medication because you don't have your thyroid gland. And I think constant evaluation of the dose is important. So when you go to the doctor does for you the check, the T4, the T3. And the levels should appear normal. The challenge is that there is not just those two kind of measures or three measures that are checked in the clinic. There is also something called reverse T3 antibodies, like three other tests that are recommended to test when we are checking the thyroid. So as long as your levels are fine, this is a good medication that help you function. Because if you don't have your thyroid gland or your thyroid medication for you early, you're going to have problem with energy, with ability to lose weight, with ability to focus. Body temperature is going to change, feeling lethargic, tired. So constant evaluation of the dose of what you take should be into consideration until you are on a dose that gives you your optimum ability to function and perform.
So if you're just joining us, welcome to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Umar, the pharmacist, every Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Any questions or comments you have with your medications or anything, give us a call at 844-967-2789. You know, Dr. Umar, I have gained an awful lot of weight since they removed my thyroid, and I do work hard on trying to lose that. But so it's not so much, it's the fact that I don't have this thyroid is one of the reasons why I'm having trouble with the additional weight gain.
Okay. So that,
cause I walked so far this week, I've walked 18 miles. Okay.
Right.
So, and even though I'm watching diet and all those things, you know, trying to lose the weight that I used to never carry until they took my thyroid out is an ongoing issue.
Look, Ern, you can walk as much as you can walk, but the challenge with the thyroid, it's a very important hormone that switches on and off important functions in the body. Next time you do your thyroid, make sure that you check your T4, T3, you have to check the TSH. These are the main checks for the thyroid. But there is also something called reverse T3, in which the conversion of the synthroid that you take or levothyroxine to the T3 might have a problem. Also, we have to check the thyroid antibodies, thyroglobulin. So these kind like extra checks on the thyroid to see if you need something else. Because it's just not just the levothyroxine that's going to fix the challenge of the
not having a thyroid
gland.
So let me ask you then, doctor, because, and I hate to cut you off, but you know, here's so when I go see the doctor, shouldn't the doctor is the one who can do those things. As a patient, I don't know anything about what it is you're talking about. So how do I begin to have that conversation with my doctor? Or should I be having that? Go ahead, sir.
The conversation can come from, I need more checks on the thyroid than the regular thyroid checks that you do, the regular tests. It's just because the doctors would check certain lab values. And if the patient needs other lab values to check, I mean, the doctor should respond because it's a conversation between the doctor and the patient. The doctor is not going to know what you're suffering from until you complain from it or you request it. So it's a two-way conversation, and I want the patient to always have this two-way conversation.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. In the Pharmacy with Dr. Umar, the pharmacist. You can join us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Come on, talk to me. So you can't see.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up,
Apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose. I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat.
All right, welcome back to In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist. So 844-967-2789. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Omar, if you don't do it today, just remember to write them down during the week. And on Thursday, every Thursday at 9 o'clock, you can join us. So, Dr. Omar, before we got started, or early before I started asking my questions, you talked about the two things, high blood pressure. And what was the other?
I was talking about high blood pressure and then high cholesterol.
High cholesterol. So, let's talk about why they're
topics.
Let's talk about why high blood pressure is so persistent in American people, and it's not that way in many other nations.
It's actually we eat a lot of good food, you know. We like to eat.
Well, okay? All nations eat good food. And all across the world, they eat good food, but ours is not healthy. Is that what you're saying?
It's across the world. Actually, high blood pressure is a persistent problem everywhere. But we keep eating in different ways. Okay, we eat a lot of fats. We eat different. We eat late at night. We don't eat breakfast. We kind of tend to stress ourselves too much. Stress is like makes high blood pressure. We are always on our devices and kind of all of this wiring, so there is no time to relax and wind down. So there is, we age, okay? We grow, we age. The blood vessels don't stay as they should. So a lot of reasons why high blood pressure can happen, but the end result is that we have blood pressure is high, and that is very bad for the prediction of the cardiovascular risk and any problem that can happen in the future. So we need to control our blood pressure. And by controlling our blood pressure is to get it down to 120 over 80 when we check our blood pressure. And this is like, we can call it the magic number, because there are guidelines that tell you it can be higher than that, can be 140 over 90. But the magic number is 120 over 80 or less. And of course, you should be able to function with that controlled blood pressures. To get this number at, like, as you age, as you grow, it's going to be very important, as I would say, number one thing that you can do for your health.
You know,
there are ways to do it. There are ways to do it, and we can all do it.
So I was at a doctor's office on yesterday. They checked my blood pressure. It was 136 over 80. And I used to think, well, 136 is not so bad. And she said, well, it's right.
Can be better.
Yeah. It's not so good. But I used to think that, you know, 100, since I'm almost 70 years old, I just thought that's not bad. But she kind of said what you did. 120, I guess, is that number.
Yes. All right. So that's the thing, is like guidelines are always updated, and lowering the cardiovascular risk over the coming 5 years is very important. So, but for you, 136 over over 80, I would tell you a couple of simple things that you can do, all right? And that's going to help you with your blood pressure. Two simple supplements you can do. Magnesium, CoQ10. Magnesium, CoQ10. Two things that you can do, lifestyle changes that you can do. One of them, embrace DASH diet. It's called DASH diet for good blood pressure. And that by increasing fruits, veggies, whole grains, lean proteins, while cutting back on sodium. The less sodium that you take in the foods, the better. And we have our foods full of
sodium. Yeah, they're full of sodium, right.
So cutting back on sodium and moving and walking, so you already move and you walk. But if we can get magnesium, a good form of magnesium like magnesium glycinate, magnesium citrate, good form of magnesium that you can take without upsetting your stomach. And I would tell you to take specific doses, like two capsules of the 125 milligram twice a day. So about, I would say, less than 1,000 milligram a day.
Well, I thought
two capsules in the morning, two capsules in the evening.
I thought the Carvedilol was the blood pressure medications that I'm taking twice a day, that the purpose of those things were to bring my blood pressure under control.
It's an excellent medication. It's helping to bring the blood pressure under control, and it's happening. It's just not at the numbers that we can see that makes your blood pressure optimum. So think of it this way. Like, some people are high risk, moderate risk, or low risk.
Right.
Okay. So if I'm in the low risk, why not thrive for the better blood pressure? Right. That's what we're thriving for. So is it acceptable what you have? Yes, it's acceptable. Can it be better? Yes, it can be better with some simple modifications. And there is always room for improvement, right?
Well, so there's no question what you just mentioned to me, I'm interested in. The interaction, though, with what you are prescribing or you are saying, does it affect the medication that the Carvedilol that I'm taking, the magnesium that you're talking about, does the interaction of those two things make any difference?
That's a good question. And that's why people, when they take supplements, it's important for them to ask their doctor, ask their pharmacist, ask a clinician about the drug interaction. No, actually, it's going to help and make the Carvedilol do its job. Magnesium is going to help with lowering the blood pressure. Magnesium is going to help with relaxation. Magnesium is going to help the heart muscle. Most of us are low on magnesium. Magnesium is going to help with any form of chronic pain management. Magnesium is a wonderful supplement to take. So actually, it's going to be helpful for the health and will have other benefits. And we already have it in our bodies, so it's kind of very low side effect profile.
So you and I, the week before, talked about supplements and what supplements are good and what supplements are bad. So I can go in and buy a magnesium supplement from, say, Walgreens or CVS, and really it's what's in there is not really magnesium.
Maybe.
We'll talk about that on the other side. 844-967-2789 in the pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, on the Earl Ingram Show. Up next, news, weather, and sports.
Roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
Thursday on Nightlight, I welcome screenwriter Pete Jones and Tarleton Theater owner Tarl Knight. It's Nightlight from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New rules for using artificial intelligence in political campaign commercials are on their way to the governor. The state Senate gave final legislative approval this week to a bill to require disclaimers on ads that use AI. Candidates are worried their opponents could make AI-generated ads to misrepresent what they've said and done. Now we wait to see if the U.S. Senate will take up Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher's TikTok bill after passing the House yesterday.
We have to question whether it is wise to have our foremost adversary dictate what news and information young Americans get. The potential for propaganda abuse is simply too great.
The bill would pull the popular social media platform off American app stores unless its Chinese owners sell to a U.S. company. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Superior residents continue to clash over the future of the Nemadji Trail Energy Center project as a City Planning Commission meeting looms. Those against the plant say they're worried about air quality and environmental impacts on a sensitive area, with residential homes located less than a mile from the proposed project location. Proponents of the project say it's a step towards cleaner energy. The plan for the Energy Center is expected to be presented at next week's Planning Commission meeting. Duluth police are investigating a report of a man showing a firearm near a playground during an after-school program. According to law enforcement officials, one of the teens at the Family Freedom Center on North 1st Avenue West was outside with the center's dog when the person allegedly approached them with the firearm. The teen then notified staff and the center went into lockdown for about an hour while police responded. Authorities were not able to find the suspect when they arrived, but the incident is under investigation. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I like to a former Drew. Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why... I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Batman Part 2 has been delayed by a year. Yahoo Entertainment reports that the release date for the film starring Robert Pattinson has been pushed to October 2, 2026. Warner Brothers is not giving a reason, but it might be to avoid being upstaged by one of their own villains. The Joker sequel drops in October of this year. There's also a Penguin project in the works. Personally, I'm waiting for the Alfred movie. Actor Brad Cooper did not win an Oscar, but he showed up on Abbott Elementary in a funny scene where students couldn't figure out what movie he was in. It was Maestro. The down-to-earth Cooper, a native Pennsylvanian, has been nominated several times for an Academy Award and usually brings his mom as his plus one and did so again this year. This was not lost on host Jimmy Kimmel, who joked in his opening monologue, "How many times can one bring his mom as his date before he is officially dating his mom?" Laughter is the best medicine. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a high near 48 this afternoon. The wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, gradual clearing overnight, our low 24. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sunshine, 48. Then on Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy and windy with some light snow late in the day, our high near 44. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
into this town. Doesn't need a little brain salad surgery. I got to cue of my insecurity. I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, the pharmacist, on the Earl Ingram Show. So doc, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If you have any questions or comments that you want to have discussions with Dr. Omar, you can join us at 844-967-2789. So, Dr. Omar, one of the things that you and I were talking about off the air, and I think is really important for people who take medications and have more than one medication that they take, how do we know when to take the second medication, and we're prescribed 5-6 different medications that we take every morning? How do we know what intervals? How do we know what we should take with and without? Because, you know, I've been guilty of taking 3 or 4 meds at the same time to try to get them in. And so what is the impact of that?
I think we should just focus on the 1 or 2 medication that's more sensitive to the drug interaction than the others.
So how do we know what those are?
To give you an example, the medications that you take, levothyroxine, you take carvedilol, you take vitamin, I don't know if you take vitamin D or not.
Right.
The most important and more sensitive medication to the drug interaction that you take is going to be the levothyroxine, okay?
Okay.
Levothyroxine, because it's very sensitive to everything else that you eat or drink. So you just take it with an empty stomach with a large cup of water. Don't take it with coffee. And wait at least 30 minutes, optimum 1 hour, and then drink your coffee. And then the other medications are okay to take with food. Because when they do the clinical trials, they try to create the molecule of the medication to be easily taken with other drugs. Put it into consideration and then focus on the 1 or 2 medication that is going to be more sensitive than the others. And then we can now make it right. But I don't want people to freak out. Like, it can be easily arranged, because there are main drug interactions that we know in our world that we can let the patient know. We focus on those, and then everything that gets to be added, we just say, do I take it with food or without food? Does it cause a problem with other medication? And then some medications are going to have certain criteria, like antibiotics. Always ask how to take the antibiotic. Can I take it with food? What kind of food that can affect taking the antibiotics? So these kind of questions.
So here's, I've been taking levothyroxine for 12 years. And this is the first time, and you're telling me how vitally important this med is. And nobody's ever told me that I start with my cup of coffee every day, and then I take my levothyroxine, and now I'm finding out 80% of that drug, I'm interfering with the effectiveness of it. So this is why this segment with you, Dr. Omar, is so critically important, because we find out things that we don't find out from the doctor. So
something I want to tell you, like your thyroid gland, not, you don't have thyroid gland, but the production of the levothyroxine in your body is adjusting according to your eating habits. So when you change, if let's say you decide to take the levothyroxine now on empty stomach, wait an hour, drink your coffee, after 6 to 8 weeks, you might need reduction in the dose of the levothyroxine, because now the absorption is different. So that is something to put into consideration, because absorption is going to be affected.
So when we look, Dr. Omar, at medications that we should not mix and possible harmful interactions, you know, ibuprofen is an over-the-counter medication that we take, many of us. But there's some things that we shouldn't be mixing if we're taking ibuprofen, right?
You should take ibuprofen as needed only. It's not something that you should be needing every single day. You take it as needed. You always take it with food. Your kidney functions should be fine, so you can take the ibuprofen. Put into consideration that ibuprofen can raise blood pressure, can affect your gut health. So if you need ibuprofen more than once a week, then there is another challenge or another problem that needs to be addressed. So you shouldn't be in chronic pain that needs ibuprofen every single day. It's usually used as needed. So it's one of those drugs that we can just buy from Walgreens and keep it in the shelf and use it every single day. But this shouldn't be the case. There's something else happening in your body, in your systems, and that need to be addressed.
So acetaminophen and over-the-counter cold medications that people take, those things you shouldn't be interacting?
You can take them short term. That should be fine. I mean, the cold and flu symptoms are now all over us. They are in every household. I have four kids. Two of them are taking acetaminophen and ibuprofen, and I have to give it to them because they have fever and high temperature. But I am trying to kind of also use cold compresses and have them use these medications less, because I don't want to tax their kidneys for ibuprofen and their liver for the acetaminophen for long enough to cause damage or harm. So we should be always seeking other ways to provide normal to our bodies. And by that, I mean just to kind of do it without medications. For this to happen, we have to address the main challenge or the main problem. If we need an antibiotic because we have cold and like some kind of an infection, we need to take it. If it's a viral infection and we can empower the body with more vitamin C, more better foods, and just kind of rest in the bed, we have to do that. So it's all about what you need, Earl. It's not just to keep adding medications and go to the cold and flu section in the pharmacies and just grab everything there, you know?
So let me ask you, many of us have had flu shots, those of us who are long of tooth. And so we've had flu shots, and yet we can still contract the flu. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have the flu, but let's say you've had a flu shot and you contract the flu anyway. Can you do... Yeah. These other medications that we're talking about here, acetaminophen and these other kind of things, should you be taking those things if you've had the flu shot?
If you take the flu shot, you should not take it preemptively just before, because when you take the flu shot, there is a change in the immune system. So this change can cause you to have a fever, and having a fever or kind of increase in body temperature after taking a flu shot, it means that your immune system is reacting to the shot. So this is not a bad thing.
It's working.
But if it bothers you and you cannot handle it anymore, it's okay to take acetaminophen to lower your body temperature. If you can handle it, it's fine. It's going to be better to handle it for a day or so. But if you can't, just take acetaminophen. I'm just telling people not to take acetaminophen or ibuprofen right before I take the flu shot, because I always anticipate it's going to make me feel like pains and having like fever. No, wait for it to happen and then treat yourself with those medications.
So I love citrus, right? So I eat pink grapefruits, right? And not with sugar. Yeah. I just, you know, eat pink grapefruits. And so it turns out that grapefruit juice or citrus it does something to impact or affect medications. Is that fiction or truth?
I can tell you that about 70% of the medications in the market get to be interacting with grapefruit juice, because grapefruit juice affects a very important enzyme in the liver that breaks down the medications. So if, let's say, you take metformin for high blood sugar, okay, that interacts with grapefruit. If you take antifungals like ketoconazole and you take grapefruit or alcohol, so the kind of alcohol and grapefruit, they work on the same enzyme in the liver, they affect the absorption.
In a negative way.
Yeah, we're not giving you the dose that you need. You might be getting double or triple the dose without knowing.
Oh, really?
Because you had your... And the problem with grapefruit juice, it just stops the enzyme in the liver for 2-3 days, not just one time, okay?
So
it interacts with everything.
So is that with any citrus? Is that orange juice as well?
No, we're talking about grapefruit.
Right.
Grapefruit juice or grapefruits.
Lemon
is fine. No, lemon is fine. But if taking something like let's say antibiotic called clarithromycin, this is kind of, some antibiotics interact with it. Atorvastatin, simvastatin,
right.
All of the statins, they interact with grapefruit juice. And it's just, you know, there is a couple of things is that moderate taking. I am less worried on grapefruit juice, but I am more worried on the alcohol and its interaction with the medications that we take. It's just because alcohol works on the same enzyme in the body. So the more serious class of drugs that are taking are the anxiolytics like alprazolam and lorazepam, and these medications, mixing them with alcohol can increase their significance, their sedation effects in the body. So I always warn the patients that take these medications to be careful with their alcohol consumption, because there can be extra sedation that happens in the body. So every medication that we take can interact with the body. The question is like, how bad is this interaction, or how okay is this interaction? Okay,
that's
the main thing.
You know, Dr. Umar, you stated I think week before last, or it might have been last week. You said you should always read, you know, the information about what the side effects could be. And yeah. I'll tell you something. I start trying to read what those things are and what they stand for and what they actually mean. I can't follow it. I don't know the language that is written sometimes in the side effects of the medication that I'm supposed to be taking. And it's so lengthy that sometimes it's hard for us. But maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I want to know, you know, but it's so much there. I have to be a doctor to understand what that means.
I tell you a simple solution, because as a pharmacist giving you 3, 4, 5 medications at the same time, I can tell you the main information you need to know. So when next time you pick up your medications, when your pharmacist tells you, do you have any question about your medication? Stop them. Tell them, yes, I have a question. Tell them the question. Every time that you pick up your medication, you do it once a month. Ask a question once a month. Ask about one medication once a month. And they're going to tell you the key information that you need to know about this medication. The challenge is like, you know, there is not enough time for us to speak to the patients. But at the same time, we have the right to provide the information if you ask for it. If you don't ask for it, it's the right that you forfeit.
Every time you and I talk, another question pops up in my mind. So now they're giving us prescriptions 90 days out.
Yes.
Right? That right. doesn't seem to be such a great thing now after I've talked to you. I thought it was a good thing, but now 90 days is a long time. Things can change. Dr. Umar, the pharmacist on the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789 is the number. Don't be afraid to call.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays every week. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Workers.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas stations.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about?
talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined in the pharmacy with Dr. Umar, the pharmacist, on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789. Tell somebody every Thursday morning you can join us. Here's a question. I have blood pressure reading of 142 over 76. And I have a chelated magnesium 250 milligram. Is the chelated magnesium good?
Yeah, the chelated magnesium. Sorry, we use all those big terms in the compounding world. So it's like
right.
Chelated magnesium is a form of magnesium that is made in a way to help improve the absorption and bioavailability, makes it absorb better with less side effects on the GI, so it doesn't cause problems in the gut. So yes, if it says chelated, hopefully it's a good brand. It may be a glycinate or malate or a good form of magnesium. So you can take it 250 milligram in the morning, 250 milligram in the evening. So take it twice a day, because it leaves the body fast. If you start to get some diarrhea, scale down, but I don't think that chelated form is going to cause a problem if it is coming from a good form and good source. So, because as I tell you, like, you have to make sure that you're getting the right source of the supplement so it does what's intended for it to do.
I know, but doctor, you say the right source. We don't know. Who are we? We're just... You know, we're just guinea pigs. And so we think that magnesium, he clearly thinks that chelated magnesium is the right thing and working for him. How does he know which is the right one to get? They've got so many on the market.
Miss Vineyard now knows. Now you know, right? Okay, we'll tell the story. Everyone will know.
Yeah, all right.
We're just going to find good source, which is like, okay, now I know chelated is fine. Now I have to get it from a place that I can trust. I know, like, let's say a neighbor pharmacy that get good brands, I can go to them. I know Wiltopia, they have good brands, I can go to them. So I have the piece of information. Now I can have another piece of information. So it's like we have to empower each other.
Okay, so does hydrocortisone raise blood pressure? I'm on lisinopril and keep getting abdominal heat, heart rate, blood pressure medication.
So the patient is taking hydrocodone and also take lisinopril. Yes, hydrocodone can potentially raise blood pressure in some people for the way that it works, okay? So yeah, it can happen from hydrocodone, and it's going to be, if you need to take it for pain management, then more than lisinopril can work, because what happens, Earl, is that one medication, if it does not help with the mechanism it works to lower the blood pressure, we can add a second medication We can add a third medication. We can use lifestyle changes and supplements to help decrease the load of medications that we take. But for whatever cost, we have to lower your blood pressure. So if you have to take this pain medication, strong pain med, if you have to take the strong pain medication, you have to lower your blood pressure by checking it at home, morning and night, not just wait until you go to the doctor. And if it's high, then we can use a second medication to lower your blood pressure.
All
check
right.
it again in a month and then go from there.
All right, let's go to Mary from Wauwatosa. Good morning to you, Mary. Always good to have you on.
Good morning, gentlemen. Regarding having confidence in the source of our supplements, I've heard that Consumer Labs is a good source for, you know, education and information on supplements. Could you speak to this, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Mary.
Consumer Labs is a website that we can use to, they do like samples from different supplement companies and they compare them apples to apples. Some of them would be winning and having like, yes, what's claimed on the label is inside. Some of them are not. I like this resource. I used it myself for a few years. And the nice thing is also is that they collect supplements from resources that are considerably good price for the consumer. So there is sponsors there, yes. There is subscription there, yes. But I think they are a good source. And then the nice thing about Consumer Labs is that when they give like the reports about a supplement that is not like doesn't have enough amount or more amount than what's claimed on the label, the companies get to be upset and they reply back. They send a certificate of analysis, which is testing that they do for their products. So yeah, it would be a good source, and I'm glad that you're mentioning it. Consumer Labs, you can Google it and you're going to find their website, and they have information about different supplements. You can just type magnesium. They're going to bring you what's in the market and what they think is good, what they think is best.
All right, Tom, quickly from LA. Quickly, Tom.
Yeah, real quick comment and question. One comment is anybody that's watching these TV commercials, anytime they do side effects, you'll notice in the commercial that the action starts happening within the commercial. So just be aware of that. All of a sudden, that's when the people are moving around and doing all these different things, make people forget about the side effects. Dr. Omar, I do juice. I juice like a grapefruit, orange, cayenne pepper, and ginger in the morning time. It is the one thing that's really helped me even lose a lot of weight. What are your thoughts on this? Because it has been very successful for me.
I like juicing as long as it's helping with your, like your blood sugar is under control, you know, because we take the fiber out or we give like large amount of sugar in your juice. But the thing is like, do you use vegetables also in the juice?
Hey, Tom, Tom, we got to let you go. Thank you very much for the call. Dr. Umar, we got to leave it there until next Thursday. Always great to have you on again in the pharmacy with Dr. Umar on the Earl Ingram Show. Tell somebody. Doctor, we'll talk soon. Up next, Jane Mattinier on air, and Greg Bosch. Thank you.
My pleasure. I'll be back tomorrow.
All right. All right. See you guys later.
Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball. Noon to 2 on Thursday, we continue to pursue the truth wherever it may lead. And have fun doing it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on. But eventually, I learned I had anxiety. Now, I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former President Donald Trump is in a Florida courtroom right now, his legal team arguing that the charges